Would you just say these words with me? God's agenda. I want to read Mark 11, 1 through 10. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied, and to which no one has ever said, 'Untie it and I'll bring it.' If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and we'll send it back here immediately.' And then they went away and found the colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. Some of those standing there said, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' They said, they told him Jesus what he'd said, and then they let him go. So they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road. Others spread their leafy branches they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" Now, I want you to listen in, and I'm going to talk for a minute, and then after that, a few more minutes. And the Hebrew word for Hosanna is "Save us, we pray, O Lord." "Save us, we pray." It's from two Hebrew words put together. In essence, it means this: "I beg you to save," or "Please deliver us." And I'm going to interject something here. I love the way that our video presented this. But I wanted to point out that even in the midst of that, in the celebration of all that was going on there, there was still latent in the desire, please deliver us from the Roman rule, the oppression of... Just acknowledge there's always going to be Caesars and Herods. That's always going to be the case. And so, people have an agenda. How many of you have God done something for you and you figure we'll use God for our agenda? Does that work in your mind? Let me show you how this works. There was a day when Jesus fed the 5,000. 5,000 people. And it says, "Gather the fragments that nothing be lost." And so they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left of those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who has come to the world. Now, listen to this next verse, guys. "Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself." People have agendas. People have agendas. Even after Jesus had resurrected from the dead and was standing there talking to them, they said, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" They're still hearkening back to a political salvation where Israel would be standing alone like it did under King David. And Jesus says, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father is fixed by his authority." Listen to these next words. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And then he says these things, and looking there, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they're gazing into heaven, As he went, behold, two men stood in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Everybody say, "Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Here they're thinking, God, you're going to come and you're going to do it to them. God, you're going to come, you're going to do it to them. You're going to come and you're going to do it to them. And God says, no, I'm going to do it in you. I'm going to do it in you. I'm going to do it in you. That's just what my agenda is. My agenda is not we're going to go do it today. How many of you feel that if they were just dealt with, I'd be okay? But that's not the agenda. That's your agenda, but that's not his agenda. His agenda is we're going to do it in here. We're going to do it in here. We're going to give you power from on high in here. We're going to do it now. Hallelujah. And we are so stuck so often, aren't we? Oh, if this had just happened. Oh, my agenda. I think it's hilarious that even in the book of James, people, when we talk, James has got to deal with the same issue. He says, come now, when you say, tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year and trade there and make a profit. He says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are like a mist that appears from time and then vanishes. Listen to this. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Don't let your arrogance get a hold of you. In other words, it's saying this. Get this, everybody. Repeat this. Submit your agenda to God. You have an agenda? Yeah, we all do. You know why we have an agenda? It all started a long time ago after God had created man. The agenda started when submitted to the advice of a deceiver. And the woman took the forbidden fruit and ate it and handed it to her husband and he ate it. And then now they were all fearful and naked and hiding, covering themselves, taking fig leaves. And we're separated. Everybody say separated from God. Separated. And so then in the cool of the day, here comes God. Oh, Adam, where are you? We hid because we were naked and we were afraid. Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit? No, Lord, the woman you gave me. The woman you gave me. And he looks at the woman and says, no, the snake, he deceived. How many of you know that our agenda is developed because there's a hole? A God-shaped hole. That's gone. The glory that covered them, their nakedness is gone. The glory that God gave is gone. The relationship is gone. And now forevermore, people are looking to meet a need somehow. Let's say, take the word aholic and fill in, put something in the front of it. Anything, blank aholic. Take anything and everything. And put it in the front of the word. And you're trying to fill up something inside with some activity or something. A work. Busyness. Task. You know what an agenda is? Agenda is figuring out a list of things to do, creating a plan to achieve something so we can make something happen because something needs to occur. And that's where we get our agendas. Isn't that right? You can look behind you and see how your agenda worked out. Many of you see all the brokenness and all the things that went wrong. Is that right? Now, I want to get one more little thing before we jump into our points. And I want to camp on something. I want to just to jump forward here in the book of Acts 14 and look at Paul and Barnabas in Lystra. I just want you to see this marvelous, fun story. Now, at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet, and he was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him, seeing that he had faith to be well, he said in a loud voice, stand up right on your feet. And the man sprang up and began walking. And when the crowds, by the way, this is not a Jewish area of the country, this completely Gentile area of the country, so the mindset is different. And when the crowd saw that Paul had done, they lifted their voices and sang in Lyconian, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And Barnabas they called Zeus, Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker, and the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, they tore their garments, rushed out into the crowd, and said, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. And listen, even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. This is amazing. Everybody has a worldview. Everybody has a worldview. Now I want to go ahead
jump on God's agenda. God's agenda is real simple. It's real simple. It's not the first fill in the blank. It's what we set up the first one with. God's agenda is, very simply, that we would preach repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations. You have a problem? First things first. There's probably going to be some forgiveness needed. And our agenda is always, go solve it without that. And God's agenda is, let's start with forgiveness. Let's see where we blew it and how things got off track. Is that right? And He is saying, even in the midst of this, I love how the preaching of the gospel to this, not a culture that knew the Lord, but a culture that had a completely different attitude and mindset, where they thought these guys were actually gods that came down out of heaven. And you know how repentance and forgiveness came to their ears? Turn from these vain things. Even the words that they used, the Holy Spirit took. When you read out the rest of that, you see that everybody shifted. And they started turning to the Lord. It was a great thing until the spoilers came in, tried to get them to stop. Jews came in. So, everybody say forgiveness of sins. Is there anybody, we've talked about this before, but this is a good theme to be on. Is there anybody here who's ever needed to be forgiven? Have you needed to forgive? Okay, so I have the right group. All right, this is that class. Okay, good. This is the class where the sinners all showed up. Right? You look around, nobody's got anything on you. They're just as bad a sinner as you. It's just maybe you can't see it all. How many of you know there's some sins that come out before them, and there's other ones that are all hidden back in here, and they come out later, according to the Word of God, right? How many of you have really been miserable in sin? Just really miserable. Makes you miserable. How many of you are really happy with it? No? Not have the happy... I love sinning so much. Because there's a pleasure in the moment, but then there's this consequence, isn't there? There's a high for a short time, and then there's something that begins to... The more you give to it, the greater it begins to get you. And the more you give to something, the greater it takes over and takes control. Next thing you know, you're not in control anymore, and the aholic part takes over. And so Jesus says, come. The first thing that the Lord wants us to do, I believe, with the power of forgiveness, the giving and receiving of forgiveness, is our first point. His agenda is to be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. It sounds like a mourning thing. Be reconciled. Jesus said it. He said, for God so loved the world. I'm experiencing a new thing. And the new thing is just God's love showing up. Talking with somebody in public, God's love shows up. I used to have more of just wait on the Lord for a word. And I like that too, to receive something that speaks right to somebody's heart. But you're just standing there and God shows up. His love shows up. How many of you are sensitive to the love of God showing up? I believe the Lord wants to pour His love out on the culture, pour His love out on people. And when He does that, there's a point at which people, they'll say like this, I think I have something against God. Isn't that true? A lot of people feel like they have something against, is that right or wrong? And I said to this one person, I said, I don't think it's really about God. I think it's something happened to you, maybe your mom or a dad. And the person instantly said, yeah, that's right. That's right. I said, it was somebody who misrepresented his heart. That there's issues with, but actually not with Him. Because He's come to give you forgiveness so that you can reconcile with Him and forgive the people who caused you to accuse Him. Isn't that something? He causes us to have a burden come off of our heart when we receive His forgiveness and give His forgiveness. There's so much need for this. This is such a core. This is such a core to the gospel. That every day there would be some capacity for it. the rest of your life. Mastering this is mastering the gospel. Giving and receiving forgiveness is the essence of why Jesus came. We think if they would just change, and there's a capacity when somebody else changes that it makes you your situation easier and better, right? But the real good change happens when you change. When you do the changing. How many of you are just starting to get a clue, a little bit as we go, that God's saying, well, what in your heart is the issue here? What is it in your heart that you could issue forth forgiveness? Sometimes we go a long distance really encumbered with a bunch of weight inside and hurt inside and harm inside, and you've missed, you walk right by the cross saying, how's God going to work with this? And God goes, come on, you know, we're on a crusade for change, and it's about you forgiving and about you receiving forgiveness. And you just go by this thing, is it right? Being reconciled to God. When you come to an issue or some kind of a resolved thing, I would like to ask us all to say, is there some area, Holy Spirit, where I need to forgive or be forgiven? Where I can be reconciled? Because look, when the resource is flowing, when we have it, and it's God's heart that we be sons and not orphans. Orphans always trying to work it out on their own. Sons go, God's the resource. What do you want me to be unto you? Right? I love this verse. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Everybody say, repentance is good. Let's go, by the way, that's the foundation of trust. The foundation of trust. Foundation of trust. Let's look at number two. Number two, what forgiveness can do and what it causes to happen inside of us. Receiving and forgiving. Receiving forgiveness, forgiving. Number two, become the true you in Christ. Become the true you. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5 says this. As you come to him, a living stone rejected. Here, look, as you come to him, Jesus declares who Jesus is, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious. It says, you yourselves, like living stones, everybody say living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you are familiar with Michelangelo's statue called David? They, in 1501, he was commissioned. He finished it 3 years later in 1504. It took 17-foot-tall slab of marble. And Michelangelo loved sculpting more than painting and more than anything else. And the reason is he felt he was more like God in that regard, going and getting the image out of the marble. He loved the idea of seeing, he says, I see what's in there, and I'm going to go get it and bring it out. Go break it out of prison. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to go and I'm going to sculpt it. How many of you have felt the pain of being sculpted? Because God has an agenda. And his agenda is that you become the real you in Christ Jesus. And this is not going to happen overnight. I realize that this has been going on since I met the Lord. I wish it had only been 3 years, like David's statue. But this has been going on and going on and going on. And Paul points it out. And in Ephesians 4, 17 through 32, it says, now this I say to testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the, everybody say, hardness of heart. And that's where we come from. That's the marble slab. The old nature. Aren't you glad the Lord saw the masterpiece in the hardness? They have become callous. They've given themselves over to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That's where the hardness comes from. But you didn't learn that way in Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him the truth that is in Jesus, to put off the old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. That's the old self. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away falsehood. That's the first one. And it's kind of, how many of you have felt a little down in your soul on occasion? You're about to do that lie. Doing your taxes. Overpaid you at the supermarket. Give the money back. Putting away all fault. A little carving here and there. How many of you... There's a slab. There's a masterpiece in there. The real you's in there, but we're going to be working on you for a little while. It's going to be taking some time, isn't it? Right? Have you? How many have felt the? It goes on. It says we want to do that. Get rid of anger. Do not sin. But don't let you can be angry, but look, don't let it go down when you don't what don't go to bed with it. Don't go to bed angry. Forgive. The Lord showed me, get something and make this noise. He said, show my people that I'm going to be working in their life because of the hardness of things that this culture puts on you. When people come to the Lord, they are hardened. And He's going to be doing some sculpting. Like He's the Michelangelo of your soul. He's going to make a masterpiece out of you, and He's working on you. He's working on you. Let the thief... No longer steal. No longer steal. How many of you have had the Lord to put that to you right there? And you say, wow, I can't, I put that back. Put that back. The Holy Spirit comes, He's carving, He's taking what's been presented, and you come in, you know, look, hey, all of us, I'm telling you, all of us have woke up one day and realized, I didn't ask to be here. I woke up in a world... And this ain't my... Why is this so hard? What's gone wrong with this? And that's why we continually develop our agenda. But when you submit yourself to His agenda, He says, you want to really succeed in life? How many of you want to be what the Lord wants you to be? Then don't run away from... How many of you have been running away from? I only have one guy that raised his hand. Only one honest. How many of you are running away from the sculpting? Today, the Lord is saying, I'm doing a work in you to cause... See, the peace that you've wanted has not happened because you're avoiding the sculpting. And some of that is so intricate, isn't it? Some of these things are so fine-tuned. When when Michelangelo made David, it's like it's phenomenal. How in the world did he do H.L.? David was ripped in that statue. I mean, it's just really nice. He goes on. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. How many of you had the Lord just, we're going to make that, we're going to shape that tongue in the image of Jesus. We're going to cause you to speak. How many of you have faced that one before? How many of you has happening today, right there? How many of you had to come in and apologize to your spouse on the way in? How many of you, come on, is anybody, stop. And he ends up with this list at the end. He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit to whom you were sealed in the day. Let all bitterness. How many of you still got bitter stuff that's just down in there? So we got to get the bitterness out of your life because you're not going to be the fruitful person you desire to be. All wrath, all that. And when your needs aren't met, you get mad down inside. God says, you got little pockets of anger down there. We're going to just get that out of there. Is that right? Put away all anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. It says, along with all malice, treating people bad.
spewing back on people. And then you finish and say, hey, be kind to one another. Hey, we're starting to look like something. Forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. I better say foundation of character. Because the Lord God Almighty has an agenda. And His agenda is that you be reconciled with Him and you become true, the true you. And the true you of who you are in Christ is going to take some sculpting. Is that right? It says, please put that down. Yes, sir, I'll go ahead and put this down. And number three, and this is the most amazing thing on the earth, to be the outpost of heaven on earth. This is the foundation of mission. The foundation of our mission together. Because the whole world needs forgiveness. The whole world, everybody needs forgiveness. Is that right? We need forgiveness, and we need to give forgiveness, and we receive forgiveness. And when you're living in that culture, there's a love that can permeate the atmosphere of the soul. And when bitterness is taken out, what happens is, well, here's the deal. What would it look like for God to be in control of the whole world? Can I tell you what everybody would look like? Jesus. And so what makes us unique is not that we fight for this cause or for this cause, but we embrace God's agenda. And God's agenda is this, that we're submitted to Him in the shaping influence of who He is, and we bring His hope and His message to people around us, His love to people around us, regardless of where they are or what condition they're in life at all. Jesus got into the thick of it, and He brought who He was. And I wish all of us could just for 10 minutes go to heaven. And then suddenly be back here and we go, we're going to live like that now. Yeah. We're living that way now. That's how we're living now. And that's the whole concept. The concept of being in the outpost says the church's gift to the world, this is written in here, is that we live now, I put not. Would you fix that? We live now in such a way, please fix that word, live now in such a way that we embody the coming kingdom. We embody the coming kingdom, the way we live now. Not being on sides, not being on this way, but we embody what Jesus is all about. We bear witness to the Lordship of Jesus as we allow eternity to determine how we live every day. We're an outpost. His name was Louis Zapparini. I mean, anybody heard of Louis Zapparini? Louis Zapparini was, they had Angelina Jolie directed a movie about him called Unbroken. He was an Olympian guy. He went up in the war and he got shot down. He was 47 days on a raft. He went into a Japanese prison. There was a Japanese warden nicknamed the Bird. And he was very, very maliciously treated. Louis maliciously the whole time. And then he got promoted and went to another prison camp. And Louis was now taken to that prison camp, and the guy continued. He had hurt his foot, almost broke it, sprained it really bad one day. And there was this point in the movie, it was a true point in his life where this, if he didn't hold this beam up, if he dropped it, he was going to just whip him mercilessly and probably kill him. And he stood there and would not drop it. That was the name of the movie, Unbroken. He wasn't going to let this man break his spirit. He came back to the States. He went through his post-traumatic stress disorder for a while, got into alcohol for a little while, but he ended up coming to Christ. Thank you, Lord. Later in life, he went to Japan, and he personally forgave every single prison guard he could find. When you're an outpost of heaven, you live the life. But he could not, the guy, the Bird, the fellow called the Bird, wouldn't meet with him. And Louis wanted to share the gospel with him and take the burden of all that. He wanted to say, I forgive you. But he wouldn't be forgiven. He was so ashamed. He was in the top, I think, 40 of the war criminals. He was in the war criminal list. And he hid out for years. And Louis wanted to say, I forgive you. We spent some time together, but I want you to know the love of God. That's That's God's agenda. God does that. Is there the bird? Is there somebody in your life that was really put you in prison? Caused you to feel all kinds of negative emotions and pain and bitterness? God's agenda is that you be free from that. That you be the forgiver. That you carry the atmosphere of heaven into the earth and cause God's agenda. Because see, it's about you being reconciled to God and then you being shaped into the image that He's originally called you to be. And then you become the propagator of what that is in the land. And you become the one who releases the freedom that forgiveness brings. I want to read this to you. Listen to this. This is Eugene Peterson writes in The Message. I love this. Just drawing here. I like this because it really accents. See, so many people have said, well, you know, your walk with God is supposed to be a private matter. No. No, it's supposed to be a public matter. Not a political matter, a life-begetting matter. It's supposed to be something where you share the life of Jesus and it makes sense and it's because of the goodness that He's done in your life, right? Listen to this. I love this. This is out of the Message Bible. Matthew 5:13 says, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine, keep open house, be generous with your lives. By opening to others, you prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Hallelujah.